Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here Monday, November the 15th, 2021, 13 minutes past the hour. And we are now, because I like to keep you aware of the dates in society, we are 10 days away from the big gobble-gobble Thanksgiving Day holiday, 10 days away from that. And now we are 45 days away from the big Christmas holiday. 40, even worse than that, 40 days away from the big Christmas holiday. So 10 days from Thanksgiving, 40 days from Christmas. How about that? Now this morning, if you are a Marion resident, if you are interested in history, if you like to know stuff, this is the show for you. Just tear the knobs off the radio, put a piece of tape on your listening device so you can't change it, because you will want to be locked into this program for the next 2 solid hours. With the help of several people, we are going to get to the bottom of a mystery, of a story that really has been brewing here in Marion since 1952. Now, there have been a lot of steps along the way with this program, but since 1952, essentially, this story has been going on, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But I do want to say something about the weekend, this past weekend. I don't know how many of you go to Trader Joe's. Now, I think I've been in there one time. I did not go this past weekend, but I think I've been in there one time in my life inside Trader Joe's. And this past weekend, Angie went to Trader Joe's, I believe with her daughter, and she got me something that they only sell at holiday time, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And it's a jug, and I think it's called Wassailing Punch. Now, I did not bring it this morning because I knew we wouldn't have time with the program we're doing this morning, but I might bring it in tomorrow to discuss this, because there's a whole bunch of stuff on the label that describes exactly what it is. Wassailing Punch. Now, I know the Christmas verse about we go a-wassailing, but I don't know what Wassailing Punch is. Does anybody know about this? If you do, grab a line, get in quickly here before we get to our historic morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And also this Christmas, as you know, I'm not big, to say I'm not big into fruitcake is really an understatement. I can't stand it. But the other food that seems to be associated with Christmas is figgy pudding. Now, I think of figgy pudding as being like tapioca pudding, but I don't think that's what it is. Does anybody make homemade figgy pudding? And if you do, what is it? What is in that figgy pudding? Now, I'm guessing like figs, and I think the only thing we can equate figs with in our society is probably like Fig Newtons, the stuff that they put inside Fig Newtons. Now, I think that's probably a fig, which is kind of a sweet sort of, fruity type of a taste. But I don't know how you make that pudding. I don't know if figgy pudding is all just figs. Not really sure. If anybody knows about figgy pudding, let me know. 740-383-9944 or Wassailing. Wassailing. Does anybody know anything about Wassailing or Wassailing Punch? But stay tuned to tomorrow's program, because tomorrow we will talk about the Wassailing Punch, and I'll try to remember to bring that in so we can discuss that. But phone lines are open at this point. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Wassailing Punch or Figgy Pudding at this point, as we are now 40 days from the big Christmas holiday, 10 days from Thanksgiving, which really means that we are 10 days from the Christmas season, is what that really means. Because, you know, Thanksgiving night, we're all in on Christmas then. Okay, so that is that. Now, this morning on the show, really the 2 hours this morning, is going to be devoted to what's going on here in Marion the next couple days. Now, last week, Lady Justice was supposed to go back up on top of the courthouse on Thursday, and because of a weather report of high winds, that was canceled. Now, I don't know if tomorrow will be canceled or not. It was supposed to be rescheduled for tomorrow morning. I don't know if that will happen or not. It seems like a bad time of year to put it back up there, but who knows? Maybe it will all go ahead tomorrow. I'm sure we'll all learn the fate of the return of Lady Justice tomorrow. Now, why am I bringing this up? Okay, well, number one, they're putting Lady Justice back on the courthouse after she was restored for the second time after 41 years. The last time she was restored would have been 1980. So she hasn't been restored since 1980. She's going back up on the courthouse tomorrow, as far as we know. And last week we had a lot of discussion about who knew what and when they knew it when it came to the whole Lady Justice story. Now, essentially, what we know about the Lady Justice story is that she was stolen from the courthouse in 1952. She was returned in 1980. And then she was restored and returned, will be returned, maybe this week. And we've had phone calls about this. Are we going to cover it? Who knew what when? We did about a whole hour on this Friday. So, thanks to Jeannie Evers, who over the weekend pulled some documents for me. We are going to do a little bit here on Lady Justice this first hour. And then, really the only person left who I think was heavily involved in the return of Lady Justice will be with us next hour, live in the studio from 9:15 until 10 a.m., the man himself, who... This is such a tricky word for me. Some people have referred to this person as a thief. Some people have referred to this person as the person who stole Lady Justice back in 1952. I don't know how to refer to it, to be honest with you. But we are going to have the man who stole Lady Justice back in 1952 in the studio with us next hour. Now, you know the name. I'm not going to say it until he gets here, but he will be with us next hour for 45 minutes. And we are going to hear that story firsthand, really, for the first time in a long time. Now, I interviewed this man, I think back in 2009, 2010. That was really when he first came clean that he had done this, which gets back to the story of Lady Justice, which I want to kind of tell in this hour before he gets in here. It's kind of a convoluted story. Now, what Charlie Evers gave, or what Jeannie Evers, excuse me, gave to me was something that Charlie Evers wrote many years ago, I would guess. I'm not sure what year Charlie wrote this, but this is something Charlie wrote called The Story of Lady Justice. So I guess this is Charlie's version of what happened with Lady Justice. And then what Jeannie gave me was something called Lady Justice, The Rest of the Story, that was written on August 30th, 2010, by the man who stole Lady Justice, telling the story. So, here we go. This is Charlie's story, because there was a little bit of confusion about what did Charlie know, what did the people around know. Here we go. Let's get into this. This was written by Charlie Evers at some point in his life. Okay, he used to do Saturday morning broadcasts on history, so when I refer to Saturday morning, that's what I'm referring to. During one of these Saturday morning broadcasts, a listener called to see if anyone knew where Lady Justice was. She had been stolen from the courthouse many years before. The listener who called was Maxine Neff, and offered $300 to restore the statue if I could find it. Now, we have a city councilman named Neff now. I think Mike Neff. I wonder if Maxine is a relative of his. I wonder if Maxine Neff is still around. Maybe we'll ask Dick Carey about that. Ironically, Maxine Neff and her husband were the recipients of an 1858 church building contract that I had found. Since Mr. Neff was related to one of the founders, it was only fitting that his family receive the contract. The church turned out to be the 16 German Methodist Church, which still exists and is still near Martell. The added momentum to a busy time, however, it only took 10 minutes for a listener to call me after I was off the air to tell me who had stolen the statue. The listener said all I had to do was open up the latest revised Marion County history book and turn to a certain picture and count six faces over on the top row, and that would be the thief. The culprit turned out to be one of the prominent members of the historical board. Now the big question became, how do we get Lady Justice back? The Marion County Bar Association found out that I knew who had Lady Justice and wanted to organize a posse to get the thief and prosecute him. All I wanted, though, was the statue to be returned. We had deposited the $300 that Maxine Neff Marshall had given with the Bar Association, since the statue was a symbol of their goals of equal justice for all. Eventually, an agreement was made, and I signed it, that the statue would be returned and there would be no posse sent to round up the thief. The thief always came to the Green Camp elevator on Tuesday mornings for a get-together with the area farmers. I always was there on Tuesdays as well. During one of those gatherings, a farmer who knew where the statue was yelled to the thief, "When are you going to give Evers the statue?" Eventually, the statue was returned, and then to protect the thief, we made up a false story on how she had been stolen. Now, this was a big question last week. Did Charlie know who stole the statue? Did he make up a story? This is in Charlie's own words. Eventually, the statue was returned, and then to protect the thief, we made up a false story on how the statue had been stolen. We claimed that two men took the statue from the courthouse and were hiding her. When they had heard that the trail was getting hot, they decided to return her, and knowing that the thief was a historian, they figured his home would be a good place to drop her off. Just the opposite, of course, was true. Lady Justice had been removed from the dome while it was being repaired. Workmen had placed the statue downstairs in the courthouse. Upon seeing her, three men promptly lifted her into a truck right in front of a local policeman and carried her away. She was taken to the farm of one of the thieves and placed under a pile of straw. An interesting sidelight to the return of the statue was the fact that the original thief, who had actually brought her back, was instead the hero of the day, since this home was where the statue was placed by the so-called thieves. Channel 10 in Columbus came to Marion for the unveiling of the statue at the radio station. She was covered with a stolen Harding Hotel blanket when returned. Uncovered, the statue disclosed her mistreatment. Her hands were badly damaged or missing. Half of her head had been destroyed. Her scale and sword had been blown away years ago while she was still atop the courthouse. A tiara was missing from her forehead, but that was found after searching her hideaway. On hand at the unveiling was listener Mike Griffith, a well-known professional blacksmith. Mike asked how we were going to restore her, and I told him at the time I had no idea. Mike said, "I'll do it." He loaded her into his truck and headed for northern Marion County, where his shop was located. Let's see here. So basically the rest of this just talks about her restoration. I guess I can read a little bit of this. The first process was to get rid of many layers of paint covering on her. We took her to a sandblaster in the village of Wyandotte and carefully blasted off the old paint, which revealed a body that had been shot full of holes. I found that law officers had regularly shot pigeons from off her. I supposed it was a good target practice, as she was said to be shot full of holes. The next step in restoration was to fiberglass her body. This took much more money than the original $300. We approached the Bar Association to have them donate some of the funds we needed. Eventually, it took $900 to completely restore her to original condition. The money situation did not sit well with the bar, and it was a struggle to convince them of the need. They thought they were spending entirely too much money. It was necessary to hire a sculptor to redo the back of her head and to redo her hands. She needed a balance scale as well as a sword in addition to all the other work. The Whirlpool Corporation donated the aluminum that Mike Griffith needed to build a new sword and scale. Upon completion of the restoration, she needed a new platform on which to stand. Mike Griffith also made that. He also placed a section of PVC pipe inside of her to use as a time capsule. It contains a lot of memorabilia from Marian organizations. When the restoration was complete, it would now be necessary to build a new base for her to stand on. Three trips to the top of the courthouse would be necessary to complete this process. Needing someone with knowledge of working at great heights and with mechanical skills, luckily the man came forward. It was Dane Rankert, whose wife Henrietta was a part of the 1976 bicentennial celebration in Marion County. Dave worked for years atop skyscrapers in Columbus, so he knew how to get the installation job rolling. So, let's see here. Mike Griffith redid the stand, and Dane Rankert and Charlie went up to the top of the courthouse. Thurman Matthews, I guess, donated some money to repaint her. And the county commissioners agreed to take $1,500 of county funds to hire a helicopter from a Columbus firm to fly up there and lift the statue to the dome. So, this is the story of Lady Justice from Charlie Evers. Now, that was the story that Charlie wrote many years ago. So, if anybody has any doubts, if Charlie knew who the culprit was, or how that all came to be, that she got returned, they made up a story, and there you go. So, those are Charlie Evers' words. Now, I'm not sure when he wrote that, but that's his story of Lady Justice. And I thank Jeannie Evers quite a bit for returning that. Now, we also have the story of the culprit, I guess as we will say, of how this all happened. Now, I'm not going to read this story because he's going to be in here in about 35 minutes. So we're just going to hear this story from him firsthand and also check out some of the points in Charlie's story. Okay. Now, some of the other things that Jeannie gave us that I want to get into here. There was a story in the Marion Star. Now, I'm not sure what year this was, but Lady of Justice prepared to continue Marion Vigil. And this story is about Mike Griffith and all the work he did to restore Lady Justice. And I'll give you just a little bit of this article here. It says, a familiar American symbol will return to the Marion County Courthouse because of the determination of a blacksmith from Caledonia. The Lady of Justice, her scales in her left hand and a sword in her right hand, had been reconstructed by Mike Griffith and is ready for 8:30 a.m. ceremony Saturday. Now, today, by the way, is the 41st anniversary of this. This happened, she was restored and put back up there November 15th, 1980. So today is the 41st anniversary, November 15th, 19... or 2021. And a matter of fact, if she went back up at 8:30, it's now 8:32. So we are almost exactly 41 years to the minute that Lady Justice was returned to the courthouse. They were putting her back up there 41 years ago at this time, 8:30 in the morning. So that's the story on Mike Griffith, who did all this work. Now, there was also, and I thought this might be fun, and I'm glad Jeannie included this, there was also a kind of a fun contest that went on at that time, back in 1980, November of 1980, about what Lady Justice means to Marion and the people, I guess it was. And I have some of the letters here, thanks to Jeannie. Now, there are two of them, and I think one of these people was the winner. Now, who knows if they're still out there listening? They would have been rather young at the time. But here's one written on November 11th, 1980, by Tim Fulton, who was 10 years old. He'd be 51 now. He was in fifth grade, and he lived in Bahama Circle. What Lady Justice means to me. Our Lady statue stands for justice and is used instead of a man because ladies are gentle but firm like the law. Welcome back, dear lady. And that is, well, now wait a second. That's from Daniel Lobdell, who was grade 5, age 10. Now, she was from Green Camp. Let me get Mike's here. Or Tim's. Tim's. This is Tim's. I think Lady Justice means freedom for ladies in the world. Now, that's Tim's letter. I think we've got one more here. This is Tina Howell, grade 2, from Caledonia. She was 7 at the time. So she would be 28? No, 48. 48 now. I am Lady Justice. I sit on top of the courthouse. I tell people like my grandma, my aunt, and my neighbors not to do anything that's wrong. Don't hurt nobody because that might make you sad. Somebody stole me. I was afraid. I was glad I was found because I wanted to go home. Here is a poem. On top of the courthouse, Lady Justice saw people obeying the law. How about that? So there's the poem from, again, would have been little Tina Howell in 1980, grade 2 from Caledonia, age 7 at the time. On top of the courthouse, Lady Justice saw people obeying the law. That's her poem. Now, I wonder by chance if Tina Howell or Tim Fulton or who was the other writer here, Danielle Lobdell, L-O-B-D-L-L, happened to be listening out there this morning, or does anybody know if Dane Rankert or Mike Griffith are still around? Now, a few years ago, oddly enough, I ran into Dane Rankert, and we had a nice conversation about Lady Justice. But I don't know about Mike Griffith. You know, honestly, in this picture, he doesn't look to be that old a guy. Maybe, I don't know how old a guy he would have been in this picture. Maybe he might have been 40, which would mean he's probably in his 80s now if he is still around. But it's interesting. It talks about when the statue was recovered, it was riddled with bullet holes inflicted during the years it spent on the courthouse, the bottom, you know, basically the stuff we talked about in Charlie's letter. But it says here that, he was 33 years old. Mike would have been 33 years old in 1980. So that would mean he would be 74 now, if he was still around. Mike Griffith, a blacksmith in Caledonia. Working at his blacksmith shop near Caledonia, Griffith said he would put in about 480 hours of work on the restoration. The missing parts of the figure had to be reconstructed from foam, and the entire statue was then covered with a special epoxy fiberglass material, he said. Besides his own time, several others provided some 120 hours of work, Griffith said. He said a lot of help was donated by 16-year-old Todd Ridgway, a Boy Scout working to attain his rank as an Eagle Scout. Griffith said the statue weighed about 75 pounds when it came to his shop. The figure now tips the scales at about 200 pounds. So there you go. That's the story from Mike Griffith in the newspaper in 1980. So we thank Jeannie Evers for those letters, the newspaper articles, and the stories of Lady Justice from Charlie Evers and the culprit, who will be here very shortly, the entire 9 o'clock hour this morning. So stay tuned for that. And we've had a lot of talk about that. Okay, now that everybody has heard the stories firsthand, and everybody knows everything, the phone lines are open. Does anybody have anything to say? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. I wonder, and again, are any of these people still around? I believe Dane Rankert is still around, because I just saw him a few years ago, and I have not heard of his passing, which I hope did not happen. Mike Griffith, I don't know. I don't know about Mike Griffith in Caledonia. Does anybody know anything about him? Or any of these other people, the people who wrote these poems, and so on and so forth. And again, today, by the way, is the 41st anniversary of Lady Justice going back on the courthouse. She went back on the courthouse the first time, November 15th, 1980. 41 years ago today. And again, the culprit, as he's referred to, will be in here next hour. And I did the first interview with the culprit. I believe I did the first interview with the culprit when he finally came clean. He didn't come clean till 2009 or 2010. It wasn't very quick. It took about 30 years. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Now, I hear you talking about this Lady Justice.
Yes.
Now, I knew the ringer well. I worked around him. I worked around him quite a bit back. And I'm pretty sure he's still living.
Yeah, I just saw him probably right before the pandemic, and he looked like he was in good shape.
Yeah, He was a high-rise iron worker. I know him well. Then I knew his dad too. I worked with his dad for a good while, and around Ringer too, Don. But yeah, he was a nice guy, and He was just a nice guy, he was. I knowed him for a long time, and I know his dad for quite a while, too. They both were nice guys. And I'm pretty sure the younger guy is still living, but his dad is gone.
Now, do you know anything about this Mike Griffith, the blacksmith from Caledonia?
I can't place him. I didn't know him. I might have known him, but I didn't know him by his name then, so...
Well, it's interesting because the newspaper article says he was 33 in 1980, so it's still possible he could be around. He'd be 74.
33 in 1980.
Yeah, so he'd be 74 now.
Yeah, I would say he's still around. I'm surprised. Of course, they aren't listening in. I'm surprised neither one of them's called in. But they may not want to have people recognize their names. But I do recognize the ringer, and I knew who he lived, and so on and so forth. And like I say, I've been around him quite a bit. And he was a nice guy, and he was a high-rise worker. But outside of that, I don't know. But I'm sure he's still around, because I take the obituary and listen on the radio and everything, but never hear him being deceased. But I'd say he's still in pretty good shape.
Yeah, last time I saw him, which would have been a couple years ago, he looked pretty good. Now, what do you think about the culprit coming in here in about a half hour?
Well, I don't know.
No, he's still around.
About that, but it's a long story to this Lady Justice.
Yeah. We just went through a ton of it.
She goes way back, and, you know, like these kids writing these poems about her and so on and so forth. That's amazing that you still got that, and these kids written that back when they were so young and hit their poems, whatever they wrote in, just fits what's going on today, really, you know, what she stands for. It's amazing to listen to that. But
you know, it's interesting.
Most people don't know anything about that, but I do.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting.
It's interesting.
I just got a message from Jeannie Evers, and it says Mike and his wife Ruth had their 50th wedding anniversary in June of 2018. They live in Mount Vernon, Ohio. So Mike Griffith is still around.
The name sounds familiar, but I just can't place him. See, I knew guys way back that was from all over. But when you get older, you forget, hey, things... I'm getting way up. I'm forgetful. You know, I mean, I just forget. That's plain and simple. Sad. I just forget. But I'm sure, and I knew guys from Mount Vernon. I was around guys from Mount Vernon quite a bit. And, you know, so they're all gone now. And, you know, the older guys back then, they're gone now. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So, hey, it's a good listen to you. Good luck, Ed. I may listen in here a little later here to see what this guy's going to have to say.
That's right. You never know. The sheriff may be over today. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Hey, thanks for calling.
Okay, have a nice day. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Again, phone lines are open here. We've got about 16 minutes. I know a lot of people had wanted to discuss this last week, the Lady Justice story. And you know what? Now, thanks to Jeannie Evers, we have done that. We've got the story. And years ago, probably about 6 or 7 years ago, I did record an interview, and I believe it was the only time it was ever done, with Charlie and the culprit, who will be in here soon. And they kind of told the story, and I've got to get in the archives and make that available to people online who want to hear them tell the story together, because that is out there. But it'll be interesting to talk with him this morning, because I have not talked with him for a while. He did not come clean on this till 2010. So, you know, you got to remember, when this was returned in 1980, the true story did not come out until 2010. So 30 years later, it wasn't like it was found out very quickly. It was kept under wraps for 30 years. And finally, he came clean himself. So we'll talk about that next hour, how that all came to be. And it all started in 1952. July of 1952 is when she was originally stolen. A lot of people... I remember when I interviewed him the first time, it was before it was kind of commonly known who stole Lady Justice. And I remember I interviewed this gentleman on a Saturday morning, and I said, well, what do you think will happen now that you've told this story for the first time? And he said, well, you know, I expect Sheriff Bailey to be outside to arrest me. Which, of course, at this point... it's all kind of anticlimactic, but apparently in 1980, when it was returned, it was a very big deal. Even though, how many years would that have been? 28 years? 62, 72? Yeah, 28 years after she was originally stolen, people still wanted Lady Justice to return. But it is interesting how, when you read Charlie's story, that a story was concocted. Charlie knew who took it, and I believe Steve Stewart knew as well, who was the news director at WMRN at that time, and they came up with a story because people did want to go after the person who had Lady Justice, and so they made up a story that two guys dropped it off at this guy's house, and that's how it was found. Well... not necessarily the truth. Obviously not the truth. But that story held up for 30 years. And that's that. All right, any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I know we had a listener call in last week who was still very ticked off all these years later, 41 years later, that the, and I'm just using the word culprit because I don't want to say his name till he gets in here, because maybe some people don't know who it was, so it'll be a little bit of a surprise when he gets here, but don't know that he was the one who took Lady Justice. One of the nicest people, though, you'll ever want to meet. And again, last week we were talking about this dog collar. Somebody knows something. Just like somebody knew something about this Lady Justice situation, I'm sure somebody knew something about Lady Justice. Well, clearly they did, because that's how Charlie found out about it, but it took 28 years. You know, we're only 10 years into the Harding dog collar thing. Hopefully one day it turns up. Anybody have anything to say about this? Give me a buzz. I just gave you the history. 740-383-9944. 12 minutes left to go in this hour. Then we will take the break and come back with the culprit. You know, it sounds like we're on the ID channel or something of that nature this morning. 740-383-9944. Now we know about Mike Griffith. He's over in Mount Vernon. And we know about Dane Rankert. Now, at one point, I heard Dane Rankert listen to this station. Dane, if you're out there, give us a buzz. We'd love to hear from you for about 5 minutes here. And what was it like to put Lady Justice back on the courthouse? 740-383-9944. Or if you know Dane Rankert, give him a call. Tell him to call in here. We're talking about him. Does anybody have any memories of being there the day they put it back on the courthouse? It would have been 41 years ago today. Matter of fact, 41 years ago about this time, as it was starting to be put back up there at 8:30 in the morning, it's now 49 minutes past the hour, so I'm sure it took a little bit of time to get it back on the courthouse. In any event, does anybody remember it going back up on the courthouse the original time, 41 years ago? Is Dane Rankert out there listening this morning? Does anybody have any insight on the inside of this story? Does anybody know any of these kids who wrote these great poems, articles, back in 1980? Tim Fulton or Tina Howell. It'd be interesting to know what happened to them. Hopefully they're doing well, wherever they are. Or Danielle Lobdell. Now, Danielle was from Green Camp, and Tina was from Caledonia, and looks like Tim was from Marion, over in the Fair Park area. You know what's interesting? I wonder if we could do this today. I really wonder if you could get the community involved in fixing something like this today. Now, it's my understanding that this time the county commissioners kind of took care of the repair of Lady Justice. Although, there is some question about this time capsule, I have to say. Now, I will tell you this about this time capsule that was put in there with this PVC pipe back in, 1980, I guess it would have been. Now, I knew it was in there because I heard Charlie talk about it for a long time, and I wondered when they restored it this latest time if the time capsule was put back in Lady Justice. So I contacted a person down at, the courthouse, you would say, about that time capsule. And I said, did anybody find the time capsule? Are they planning to put it back in Lady Justice when it goes back up on the courthouse? And this person basically said, it was the judge who we get the press releases from, said that he really wasn't involved in that part of it, wasn't involved with it, and that the county commissioners were taking care of it, and that the county commissioners did have the time capsule. But he did not know if they were going to put it back in Lady Justice. Now, I emailed all three county commissioners, Ken Stiverson, Andy Apfelfeller, and Kerr Murray, last Thursday, I think it was, and I still haven't heard back anything from them. Now, I don't know if they just don't check their emails, or they don't want to talk about it. One or the other. So I don't know if the time capsule will go back up in Lady Justice or not. Somebody might want to find this out, because today will be the last day, because if she does go back up on the courthouse tomorrow, if that time capsule's not in there, in that PVC pipe, it probably isn't going back up there. Because once you put her back up there, I don't know how you would get it back in. I guess wait another 41 years and see if you can take care of it. Isn't it interesting, though, that she will end up, if she does go back up tomorrow, isn't it interesting that she will go back up 41 years and one day after she was put up the first time? Because today is actually the 41st anniversary of her going back up. And it's my understanding there was no planning involved in that. That she was supposed to go back up last Thursday on Veterans Day. That didn't happen because of the weather. And then actually she's been restored early. So there you go. Now, I do know that a blindfold has been put on her this time. Now, I assume that probably means that Justice is blind, but the pictures that I have of Lady Justice from the past, she doesn't have a blindfold on, so I don't know how that all came to be, but I guess it's the way things go. And will we be doing this again 40 years from now? Has technology gotten any better to where we won't have to do things like this? Again, phone lines are open. 6 minutes left here. 740-383-9944. Lady Justice is the topic this morning. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. We'd love to hear from you. Also, don't forget the man who took Lady Justice back in 1952 and also helped to return her in 1980 will be here next hour. Live in the studio, hopefully, and we'll have a nice conversation about this whole situation that took place 41 years ago on this date. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. Would love to hear what is on your mind this morning. Maybe it's one of those kind of lazy, hazy Mondays. You know, the snow came yesterday, and maybe that's put everybody into a little bit of a hibernation at this particular time of the year. Oh, I do also want to let everybody know that we do have ticket pickups for Brian, Pat, Ernie, Judy C., and Todd. Brian, Pat, Ernie, Judy C., and Todd. I believe Ernie said he was going to get his Wednesday. But you can pick those up here at the station. They are two tickets to the Columbus Zoo apiece. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 4 until 5 p.m. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 4 until 5 p.m. And there is a note on the door stating that fact. So that is that, as they say. All right, if you've been thinking about saying something this morning, we're down to the last 4.5 minutes this hour, 740-383-9944. Also, do want to remind you that Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam Lepp will be on the air when I leave the air this morning, 10 a.m. until 12 noon, or till 11 a.m., excuse me, and then Voice of a People, 4:10 until 5 p.m. Go ahead, caller. Are you there, caller? Hello? Well, I think we lost our caller. If that was you, caller, give us a buzz back, 740-383-9944. Still 4 minutes left in this particular hour, 740-383-9944. If that was you, give us a buzz back. Or if anybody else out there has something they would like to add here on Lady Justice Anniversary Morning, give me a call, 740-383-9944. Okay. And that's the story this morning here on WWGH Radio. Hopefully, shedding some light on history, which we like to do here. Now, tomorrow, not only am I going to talk about this wassailing punch, which I'm going to have to leave a note for myself to bring this in tomorrow, because I know I will forget it. There's no doubt in my mind I'll forget it if I'm not reminded to bring it. And it's tough because you can't leave it out all night because you don't want it to, you don't want the wassailing punch to go bad. But I'm also going to talk about recipes tomorrow morning because I have something here that I think is kind of interesting and maybe something we can do on a smaller scale as we head into the holiday season here. So I've got this this book, which is really a lot of fun, and we'll have to just talk about that tomorrow, as it were. All right, I think a phone call is coming in here. Go ahead, caller.
When was Lady Justice originally put on top of the courthouse?
The first time?
When the courthouse was built.
You know, I don't know. It's I believe 1858 was, it's an eight, the structure was released when the judge sent out the press release in regard to that. Hold on, I can get that information for you.
That'd be nice to know.
So what do you make of all this?
Oh, I think it's great. I think it's a climax to the story of Lady Justice is fine, and I don't know about the, I have to have reconsideration about a blindfold put on the poor girl. She left over Marion for a good many years. I hope that don't put a jinx to nothing.
Yeah, they put a blindfold on her. 1884. What it's saying here, 1884 is when the courthouse was built.
Yeah, right there on East Center Street. That's right, you know, right there at the courthouse in front. I can remember when I was a kid, I was 8 years old or something like that, and Mom would hold my hand, and here come the city buses pull right up there, and they would you'd board the bus there to go to the West End or every place, and that was a bus stop. And those trees, sycamores, was there, and the poop was all over the ground and everything. Mom kept a close eye on me because I was always venturesome at jumping out and getting on the bus. And this guy, older fellow, that'd sit up around the courthouse and spit on the walks and stuff. And he took a cane and wrapped it, put it around my neck, and pulled me back. He said, "Young man, you better behave and be there with your mother." I can remember that yet today. Yeah, he hooked that cane around my neck, and my mom, she went, appreciated very much him doing that, but she got me back anyhow. So yeah, there were a lot of things back in those days. It was something. I remember the touring the cars and stuff, the old Model T Fords and stuff running around the courthouse when I was a little kid like that. That was yeah, it's funny how you can remember some things, but I looked up there the other day, and there where they have the concerts and stuff for the popcorn festival, I just worked right there, and I looked, and I said, "Boy, what a viewing point if you wanted to go uptown and get in that parking lot, and you could park there and everything there. You could hold quite a few cars. People could view that if they wanted to, but take care. I'll see you,
Scott." Hey, thank you. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to break here, and I think we're coming back with The Culprit next hour. Stay tuned.
Time the worst the first time.
Both. We'll take both at this point.
First time. What's the first time? Does it rhyme? Either.